Hello and welcome to another episode of Cavell Cloud Conversations with Finbar and Patrick. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know who we are by now. How are we doing, Patrick?
Very well, thank you, Finbar. How are you?
It's all right. It's been my birthday this week. I'm getting a bit old. I'm 34 now. You know, things that the wheels of time are turning, as they say. And you know, they continue to turn for telecoms as well. That was a rough pivot, but there we go. What has been going on? We released our consumer research. That went very well, didn't it?
Well, yes. And obviously, the main sort of topic of this conversation was going to be the consumer research. But I did, first of all, there is an elephant in the room that needs to be addressed, which is, and I would like it on record, I think podcasts are a fantastic medium. Effectively, it's audio content that can be consumed on demand. However, I have heard, I know that effectively, I don't think you abandoned the medium, but you have transgressed into a different medium over the past couple of weeks.
I wouldn't say I'd abandoned podcasts. So what Patrick is alluding to rather all over the place is that I got invited to be on the radio last week. Yes. So this is now the voice and face of radio, as I was on BBC Radio 4 for a whole like 5 minutes on their You and Yours consumer focused podcast, because we did this research and we sent it around to see who would be interested. And they said, oh, so your research says consumers don't like chatbots. That mirrors what we're hearing. It recorded a segment where people are talking about bad chatbot experiences. And then they kind of invited me on to talk about why the chatbot experience is so bad at the moment.
All joking aside, it was a really good appearance. And my sort of assertion is tinged with the jealousy of you getting to appear on. And for any of our listeners abroad, BBC Radio 4 is one of the most popular radio stations in the UK, and You and Yours is a very popular program. So it really was a sort of prestigious appearance.
I didn't necessarily appreciate Dom telling me 5 minutes before I went on that the show has 3.15 million listeners.
Yeah, that's the
I didn't
sort of
appreciate that. I was calm. I was pretty chill about it. I was like, small radio show on a big radio station. It's over lunch during a weekday. Not that many people will tune in. And then he was like, no, it has like 350 million. No, it has 3 million listeners a week. And I was like, okay. So there's the tension. But essentially, look, what we discussed was very relevant to people, because there's loads of people, consumers, having very bad chatbot experiences. And there's quite a few different causes for that. And the first one I highlighted in the radio show was the problem with current expectations on technology. So when a lot of these chatbots were originally deployed, as you know, about 2-3 years ago, they were cutting edge technology, you know.
Yeah.
As funny as it says to say that now, because we know they're not working very well, but they were, you know, the ability to type in random questions and get the right FAQ link and all that kind of stuff was pretty cutting edge 2-3 years ago. And then ChatGPT shows up and consumers are suddenly thinking on this new level of technology. And obviously you can't just rip and replace what you deployed 2 years ago immediately with something else. So, you know, it causes non-stop.
Yeah, so it's effectively that consumer education, of just consumer expectation piece with the capability. And there are companies out there that are, you know, utilizing large language models on the back end, which, you know, are improving the capabilities of these chatbots. But I think that was the sort of key focus of the radio show. But effectively, the consumer research as a whole, I think, that was and just we should I mean we were gonna we'll plug it at the end anyway, but that report is available for free for any Cavell portal members. You can join the Cavell portal and you can download the report with all of the findings. And effectively we focused on the UK, so it's 1,000 consumers in the UK, and just to really understand their attitudes towards customer services. And there were some pretty big headline stats effectively, Finbar, weren't there? You know, I think it was 45% of consumers feel that customer service is worse now than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's considering the solutions are out there. And I think it's, you and I have discussed this before, that it is, and it's definitely on my side, it is a frustration because we get to see these solutions in the market, contact center solutions and customer experience solutions, these fantastic, you know, bleeding edge solutions. But yet the customer service I receive on a daily basis is, I would judge, as poor. So no, I think that sort of headline stat didn't surprise me at all, that nearly half of people thought that it's worse than it was 3 years ago.
And I kind of directly tie that towards 2 years ago, new technology comes out, it gets slightly better, and then it doesn't get better. And then you hear about what we're doing, which is you hear about these new technologies and you're like, why don't I have that?
Yeah, good point.
And there's a very simple answer to why don't you have that. And, you know, I was out visiting Comcast last week, talking to them, obviously huge American company, you know, the equivalent of BT, but bigger because they're American. And they also own like Universal and things like that. And they were saying that they're building AI. They've been building AI for a decade. And ultimately what it comes down to is one of the head of their solutions department says he has someone in his office every week with ChatGPT saying, hey, I got ChatGPT to spit out the answer to how to fix our most common modem problem when people type it in. Isn't that amazing? And he's like, okay, but replicate it 10,000 times with 10,000 slightly different questions.
Very good.
And have it not do anything weird or say anything weird, or, you know, there's just a rigorousness that needs to be applied to customer service before they can deploy the technology. And then the technology itself isn't free as well, so you can't just turn around and deploy it. And there have been a lot of very high profile cases recently where early adopters of LLMs or, you know, these GenAI systems have felt the backlash from those improper deployments. We're thinking about Air Canada, where their chatbot told someone that the cost of putting the dead father's coffin on the plane was free, and then they tried to say it wasn't, and the judge just told them, well, your chatbot said it was, so you've got to deal with it. Or the guy who used prompt injection to get a Chrysler for $1, which was not honored, but I think the judge gives them a bit of leniency because it was obviously someone maliciously trying to inject prompts to get a response. He was like, you're expected to think the customer's always right, therefore you have to accept this. And then the chatbot was like, yes, of course. Whereas the other guy just genuinely asked a question, which was, how much does it cost to put the coffin of my dad on the plane? And the chatbot said nothing. Tell us where the courts are going to land on this. You know, if you're maliciously trying to abuse a chatbot, you're not going to get what you have wrangled for. But if you're interacting with a customer service system genuinely and it tells you a piece of information, regardless whether it's AI generated or not, you need to be able to rely on that piece of information. I think that's a very important takeaway from all of that discussion.
I would absolutely agree. And I think generally, I think you're right. And the point you made up front about customer expectation, I suppose that absolutely applies to me as well, because I see the solutions are out there. But yet when I try to speak to my internet service provider and get repeatedly, you know, disconnected or have to repeatedly, you know, reiterate my security information. And we did in that report that we did look at frustrations. And as you might expect, you know, wait times of one of the key things that the top response in terms of frustration for consumers. So you can understand why businesses are looking at creating better automated systems to try and resolve the sort of key frustration, which is wait times. But then you end up with all of these effectively sort of ripple effects if you don't get the deployment, the technology deployments right in the sort of first place.
Yeah, exactly. And added on to the extra layer of the expectations is the broad range of solutions that are deployed in the marketplace, which means that when a customer goes to a website, they don't know whether they're getting a good or a bad solution, right? Because, you know, we've all had that system where you go to a website, you start typing your question into the chatbot, you think the chatbot's one of the smart ones, and then it just says, cool, give me your name, give me your email address.
Yeah.
Someone will get back to you later. And you're just like, why did I just type all of this stuff into a chatbot?
Yeah.
I could have just written you an email.
Yeah, it's effectively a web form. It's an automated web capture.
Yeah, exactly. And then sometimes the opposite's true. You get really intuitive. Like, I had a really good experience on Audible last week where I said my problem. It said, is this the solution? Like, here's an FAQ. Does this help? I said, no. Then it said, it might be this. I said no. The next thing that popped up was, would you like to speak to an agent?
Yeah.
I said no twice, and that was their sensitivity. They were like, he's given us lots of information. We've recommended two potential things that might help him. He's clearly said no. Do you want to speak to an agent? Within, say, 30 seconds, I was connected to an agent who read up through the chat and said, hey, actually, I can fix this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. That wasn't Audible. I actually had a bad experience with Audible. That was Hive. It's a new delivery company in the UK.
Oh, right.
They were really good. Audible did not understand what I was saying.
and it's effectively being able to cover that range of different responses. And one of the things you mentioned there, which is something that you and I, we've talked about a lot of, is sort of, and I encounter a lot, is the sort of the obfuscation or the hiding of contact details. You know, yes. I often... And generally, and I suppose everyone thinks this, I have quite a high opinion of myself as a consumer that I hopefully would be able to troubleshoot issues to a point on my own by, you know, effectively doctor Googling things. If I get to a point where I have to contact a business, generally, I think it's because I will probably need to speak to an expert. Yes. So when I want to find the phone number, I want to find the phone number. I don't want to be redirected to resources that I've already looked at, or, you know, pages that aren't necessarily going to help me, or a chatbot, because I think at this point I want to speak to a person, and I want to try and the survey did show that still the majority of people think that speaking to a person is going to be the fastest way to resolve things.
Yeah, because I mean, if you've got a problem and you can get someone on the phone, it is the fastest way to resolve things. But right now, and it is changing. You know, website portals can handle more. Chatbots are picking up more slack. We are in a period where that is changing. I mean, I personally don't care if I speak to someone or not, as long as I get what I want quickly.
Yeah.
But like you, I need to feel that I'm getting connected to an active channel that's going to resolve my problem, rather than just telling me I don't know what I know is wrong. Like, yeah, like it's fine to show me an FAQ page first and just give me an option to quickly say, no, that didn't work. And then take me to someone. I actually don't mind if the first thing that comes up is a, could this help?
Yes. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. No, that's...
I think I don't mind the assumption that I haven't done all the reading that I could possibly have done.
I
assume everyone doesn't do all the reading they could possibly do, right? I assume everyone's not that rigorous, so I don't mind. As long as there is that quick pathway to connection. What frustrates me is the websites where it's really just impossible to get someone on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Without going through like 15 hoops or something, and you're just like, how is this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And ultimately, that relates back to our contact center enterprise research that, you know, generally... organizations said they're expecting the amount of human agents that they have within a business to increase, but their budgets, they're also expecting it to increase, but not by the same proportion. So ultimately, not having human agents is one of the biggest costs within the contact center is the agent behind that. So you can understand from a business perspective why they're trying to negate the requirement for people to speak to a human all the time. But ultimately, if you can't resolve the issues that way, you shouldn't be, you know, hiding contact details. It's not the way to do it. I hope, and although that, as we said, sort of 45% of people think it's gotten worse, I am still hopeful for the future that it will improve, at least for my own sort of domestic services anyway, because at the moment I don't think the experience I get is great.
I think we're just in a transition period, in a pre-automation transition period, where companies are basically hearing about all of this great technology and thinking that they can start firing contact center workers, or not firing, you know what I mean? Like
just not recruiting more,
focusing more on automated systems. But the automated systems aren't yet good enough to replace the people that they're replacing. But within 5 years, when they are, then we're in a situation where actually, because I think a lot of the customer service problems can genuinely just be solved in 5 years' time by a chatbot, by saying, no, you can log into the website and change that yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think the majority of problems can be. I think the number of things that actually need to get escalated are not as large as the number that does. And I think the real problem is just we're in a rough transition phase where we're going from old generation, which was, you know,
have to speak to a person because
you
it's pretty
much... You have to speak to a person to fix this. I mean, even 5 years ago, the idea that I would do anything with my bank without speaking to someone to actually... Like any substantive change, not like checking my balance or something, which I do on the app, but like if I wanted to do anything substantive, like I'd lost my card and things like that. I don't do any of that speaking to someone now. I just say, oh, I've lost my card, and they're like, cool, there's a new one at the post. Like it's... Because they have... They've invested in the automation.
Yeah, so yeah, you're probably right. So it's effectively we're in that transition phase, and at the moment we have a lot. Well, we shouldn't obviously generalize because, as you said, there are some very good experiences out there.
No, there are some fantastic ones.
And also we have to be complete. There are some. I know our listeners in North America and the rest of the world, but in the UK, there are companies that I could name, which I won't. That are the experience is incredibly poor, and I think you're right. We're in that phase, and maybe the balance between utilizing these emerging technologies and automation capabilities, which aren't always, you know, using Gen AI, you know, nice, you know, automated self-serve stuff doesn't have to be have Gen AI in the background.
Gen AI is the buzzword. There are other forms of smart systems,
exactly,
like
Hacks,
things like that are doing quite good work. You know,
but it's that balance between, you know, using those systems and being able to speak to a human when I want to.
And there will be a watershed moment at some point. I think in the next 3 or 4 years, where the use cases are developed thoroughly, they become more affordable, where people will just start, and also like when the current thing has sweated its value properly, where people will just start rolling out this stuff, because it is software based. It's not drastically expensive. Well, it's expensive, but it's not like, you know, you don't have to buy a new supercomputer to do it. You just have to buy your license, upgrade your license, change your license, you know, and you're going to have access to this technology. And some of it will become table stakes as well. And you'll see it filtering down to smaller companies, people with less budgets, you know, and it will start to revolutionize the industry, but it's not going to get there until those use cases have been proven. And also, to be fair to all of these companies, until the regulators decide what they're happy with.
Yeah, good
point. We still haven't had, and I know it's currently being worked on, but we still haven't had the final substantive piece of how AI gets used automation regulations from the EU or the UK government.
Yeah.
You know, we've had the first wave of them, but the new AI law has not been passed yet.
And, yeah, good point.
You know, a lot of companies are quite rightly not deploying this next generation technology until they know whether or not it's going to be illegal in 3 or 4 months' time.
Yep.
You know, or what... It's probably, we're not illegal, that's a bit too drastic.
But like, to what extent, yeah.
You're not going to build a platform now and then the EU says, oh, you need to have these protections, this notification system, this alert system for your customers to let them know they're being interacted with by AI. All those things are extra development time that it's easier to just build when you're building the system, right?
Yeah. No, so you're right.
Doing it now just isn't efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's a lot to think about. Regulation, automation, this thing, expectation gaps, how great I was when I was on the radio. It is you and yours episode. Chatbots is a segment and a section, and it would have been from last Wednesday, so it would have been the episode from the 24th of April, if anyone wants to go and listen to it. I'm you around 38.
BBC iPlayer. BBC iPlayer.
Yeah. I'm around minute 38. I'm on there for about 5 minutes in a section on chatbots. So if you've liked this, go and like that because, you know, I'm an international man of mystery. I'm a man of the world.
Video killed the radio star, I was tempted to say at the time. You know, that was the...
Well, this is on video. Oh, I thought you were going to say something like, well, you have a face for radio, but that's actually quite...
No, that would be incredibly mean of me. Yeah. I've never said such a thing. And that may or may not be why both you and I are on a podcast, although there is a YouTube video as well, but the same.
Exactly.
Same vein.
So to start to wrap up, I mean, what's happening for Cavell in the near future? You know, we're kicking around. We've got an event next month in London, which not everyone is invited to, but, you know, if you're listening, it's Cavell Invest. And of course, that is a summit for people who are investing in telecoms and dealing with the money side of telecoms. So if you're listening to this and you work at a company that's trying to get acquired, or you work at a company that likes to acquire people, then you can get in touch and that might be an event you can come to. It's not a free-for-all, so you can't just, you know, necessarily rock up if you're not working in investment in the telecom sector and you just want to meet fancy people. But it is going to be a great event, and we have a lot of discussions on the day about investment in the space and sort of how that's all coming together. So do think about coming along if that sounds of interest to you. What else is happening?
Well, the report, as I plugged at the beginning, I think the sort of call to action from today is we'd love feedback on the report. Because like I said, we ran this specifically in the UK, but we're looking at, you know, doing that more widely in North America and in Europe as well. So we'd love feedback on the report. That is, if you go to the Cavell members portal, of which I'd hope everyone would be a member who's a listener to this, because it's completely free to become a member of the Cavell portal, and you get all of our behind closed doors insight on all of the various events we cover, and you can access the full voice of the consumer report absolutely free of charge. And we'd love feedback and questions and queries and potential follow-ups as well for the next time we run the research, if people are interested in expansion areas and other details around that. We'd love to hear feedback on that as well. So
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, every year now we do run a spicy research project alongside our regular research programming. So if you have a suggestion for next year along the veins of the consumer research or the research we did in differences in generational business communications, you know, do feel free to send that through, and we'll have a think about what we're doing next year as well.
Absolutely.
All right. As always, thank you from me. And of course, thank you from Patrick, I'm sure. And thanks for listening. And I'll speak to you all soon. We'll speak to you all soon, in fact. Bye.
Goodbye.